should all the acquaintance be forgotten. The mic was in picture.
The mic was in picture.
You've gone full beard. It just gets annoying.
You can't have it forever. I can't have anything forever.
It, you know? It is like, there's a period of time when you can sort of trim it with clippers and keep it like a nice good shape.
Keep it the same way.
Yeah.
For a while. You have consistency.
But then it starts like curling for me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So usually what I do is about now, when it's had a couple days, then I shave my head so that my sides, my head hair is the same as my beard hair. But if I shave it all at the same time, I look weird.
It doesn't grow at the same speed, or you need one of,
it just looks weird having it all that short.
So you want to give it like a break between the two of them. Yeah, I finally, for the first time in my life, bought like an electric razor. I've just made it do with clippers, and I got to the point where I was thinking, I don't want, because now I have the mustache, I was thinking, I don't want to trim my whole face with the clippers, with the straight edge clippers. It doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And I finally got like, you know, one of those ones where they've got the three spinning razor blades.
Oh yeah, those are cool.
Yeah.
I used to use that for Disneyland because I could do it on the way to work.
Oh, nice.
I got a Norelco clippers USB port, I think, or some weird, it's weird.
Nice.
But it's recharger, and it came with like 27 attachments.
What do you do with 27 attachments?
Well, there's one that's a nose clipper. And then, okay, you know, like, you know regular clippers, how they're shaped, right? But when you go to the barber, there's like a wider one.
Yeah.
It's got one of those.
Okay. All
right. And so then that's two.
It's got one that's narrower. It's like, it's only like five prongs, but it's still regular clippers.
Oh.
So that's good for like ears.
Mm-hmm.
Then some of the attachments are the like the different number sizes. Numbers. For trimming.
Yeah, 1 through 7 or whatever.
There's one that's like a it's hard to describe, where it's like sort of a mesh. It's like a mesh that goes over, and it's more.
Yeah,
of
I
a,
got the.
I know what you're
like
talking about.
Yeah. Like an old style electric. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then there's, I don't even know. There's just a bunch. Right. This is
you
a bunch
of done the inventory.
The majority of them, though, are the different size plastic pieces that go on over. So your ones, like when you say, give me a one, two or three, whatever, it's those.
Yeah, if I, or you're James Brown.
Right.
Give me one. Dun, dun. Give me a two. Dun, dun. Give me a three. Dun, dun, dun. Give me a four. Dun, 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 dun.
Here comes five.
So I restarted my computer, and then the mouse wouldn't work, so I'm restarting it again. But I don't think I'm going to be able to record this one. I don't think that this iMac that lasted not even a year, this shitty what? iMac.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with your iMac.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
You ain't bad. You ain't nothing.
You ain't nothing.
Ding dong, yo. So I did what I said I was going to do last week.
Which was?
I have a new computer on the way.
I'm awesome. So happy for you.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm
did
excited.
Did you say what color you got? I know there's more important things.
Orange.
That's terrific.
Orange.
Orange.
Orange, you glad you got a new computer.
Yes. I'm going to be able to edit stuff. My camera's going to be better. I mean, people can't see this now, but this camera is out of date, and I have this light that I don't know. I probably don't need anymore because the new camera has the fucking whatever technology that corrects everything.
Can see your face even though it's not in the middle of the sun.
Right. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to be doing some editing, which I'm excited about. Yeah. Yeah. And I still have yet to... You kind of let the Dharma Larmy know last week that they can just back off because you got the situation well in hand, Ryan.
He sure did.
And I sure still haven't gotten how to do that.
He made sure that no one else told you.
Wait, what?
He was talking to you about like trying to rip audio and you get the, told everyone.
Yeah, the dialogue about to help. The dialogue only version of Attack of the Clones, but you said, don't worry about it, Darm Larmy. I've got it handled.
And did I handle it?
No.
What do you mean I didn't handle it?
I still have yet to see it. And you said, you told me that you sent it in a thread, but using the iMessage on your Mac, but that it didn't come over to, you know, my side of the conversation.
Oh, so that was because then you sent me like a personal message that was like, that I interpreted as, no, I'm just fucking with you. Like, I got it.
No.
So you didn't get it?
I got it. The computer.
Oh.
I did not get the thing on how
well,
to do
I will go back as soon if I can get my fucking mouse to work. If I can get this 1982 level of technology to work, I will resend the link that my computer said that it sent you previously.
Okay.
Did you get that thing I sent you? Turns out, no.
No.
So don't you worry, Darm Alarmy.
Still don't help.
Still don't help. Because I still got this covered.
The original instruction remains.
Let me see if I can find it on my. Okay, you do your thing. You do your little show.
Okay. That sounds like fun. What else did you do besides shave your beard and buy a computer? Did you have to sell your beard to get the computer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
It was,
that's ironic.
What a
twist.
What do they call that?
The gift of the match.
Yeah.
So you sold your beard to get a computer.
Which I can't use because it's beard powered. It's face recognition. No, I had some inheritance money that has been sort of cushioning us for during furlough and stuff. And so I decided to use some of that.
Nice.
And I'm very, very, very excited for like kind of the future of what I can do now that I've gone into video podcasting. Mm-hmm. And then that project, the Attack of the Clones. Very, very excited. Just waiting on that link. As soon as I get that link,
you'll be off to the races.
I think the thing though also is Ryan is very excited for this. I know that Ryan is very excited for this project, so he's obviously not letting me down on purpose.
I'm not letting you down. I feel like if anything is letting anybody down, it's this shitty iMac that I bought.
It's my favorite Ian Fleming novel.
Shitty iMac.
Oh, my mouse just decided to appear.
Oh, hello, mouse.
I like how he blames the computer, but sometimes the mouse. I'm not sure which one to believe.
It's all part and parcel of the same thing.
I'm excited at that. Speaking of the future of podcasting,
go on.
It looks like we'll get a season 2 of
Darmalar's
Sweet Tooth.
It was a announcement like just this week, right?
Well, here's what I think what happened was. Is they waited to announce it when people were done. People who were watching it one week at a time were doing, and we skipped a week.
So that's why it came up the week. Yeah, it makes sense. The timing checks out.
Yeah, and then I mean, we'll get into it, obviously, but they knew ahead of time there was going to be a season 2.
They had to hope. I mean. What a way to end the show if you didn't know for sure. That's like, it's like, you know what? Put it all in Netflix's court. Like, okay, guys, this is how our show ends.
Right.
And I actually pictured some Netflix executive, like, calling them and was like, what happens next, guys? you gotta buy a season to find out.
So, that's exciting.
It is. That's good stuff.
Because I was thinking, like, I don't know what to do next. And, I don't know if we'll jump right into something else unless something comes up where we're like, both like, all right, we want to check this out. So, right. But it's good to know that there's something eventually. Who knows when it's going to show up? Netflix right. doesn't release seasons super fast. I'm hoping they've known this for a while, and they may have done like, let's say they did this with Titans, where they said, "Oh, the first season is 8 episodes, okay," and then, "Oh, we're going to do a second season. It's also 8 episodes." Like, I have a feeling that they did 16 episodes, uh-huh. decided to split it in half. I don't know why, but if anyone watches Titans, you can see where maybe the finale was supposed to be, or the season one, or the season two opener was the finale of season one, and they just delayed it.
Oh.
It's very strange. But with this, I feel like... I have a feeling there's already more in the can. I could be wrong.
That makes sense. I mean, I'll say, watching Umbrella Academy, do you watch Umbrella Academy?
I don't.
Okay, so watching season one, and then how much time it felt like I was waiting for season two felt like a long time. But then when I went and looked at it on paper, I think it was like less than a year.
Okay.
So that's another Netflix show. I don't know if it has any weight on how long you have to wait for a season.
I feel like if your show has a kid as the star of it,
then you got to go fast, man.
Yeah, it's got to be like, okay, let's go.
Like Stranger Things, at least I think with Stranger Things, they sort of move the timeline along.
With
at
the
least
kid's
between,
age.
Yeah, between one and two, there was time that took place in universe. Because yeah, those kids, you start with a kid, and they're not going to be a kid forever,
right?
Like Walt, for example.
Yeah,
we just had to sort of give up on Walt from Lost,
right?
So I do actually recommend the Umbrella Academy. That's a good one.
Yeah, FYI. Is Gerard Way do that book?
The guy from My Chemical Romance?
I think so.
Yeah, he wrote the comic book.
Yeah.
And again, it's very divergent, just like Sweet Tooth has been. You know, there's similar characters, basically.
Did you read that book?
Yeah, I read a couple. Actually, I read the. I think there's three, and I think I read two. And there's a world of difference. But it's cool because the books are very stylized, and
right.
It starts very in media res, like everything's already happening.
Also, like 2008 was when Umbrella Academy came out. Like same as Sweet, they came out at the same time as Sweet Tooth because those were the books that people were coming into the store when I worked at the comic book store. Were coming in to get Umbrella Academy and Sweet Tooth.
Sweet Tooth. Yeah. That's funny.
So those were like probably the kids who grew up, and one of them worked at Netflix. You know,
that probably it was just a good year for
like a 15-year-old's now 25-year-old executive or something.
Yeah, that's how you get stuff like that, you know.
Barefoot executive.
So I am now looking at my history on Hoopla, which is the digital library app I use for comic books. Mm-hmm. And I read the last issue of Sweet Tooth in August of 2020. So that's why I'm not super remembering it that great, because it didn't happen yesterday. But I just thought, I guess I'm trying to justify to myself why I'm so hazy on the details.
It's been,
it's been
a
whole
year.
And it's been that year. Yeah. It was that year.
Yeah, right.
And I reread Invincible. No, this must have been the first time. 2018. I don't know. It's kind of cool to be able to look at the history of when you read stuff. Like, that's one benefit of reading it digitally, that you can go back and find out.
Yeah, I guess so. I use Comixology, so I'm not sure if they have anything like that. But Gerard Way created a imprint for DC called Young Animal. Uh-huh. And there's a Green Lantern book called Far Sector that's really, really good. Which is good, because the current Green Lantern book fucking sucks.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
They undid the reboot, right? The New 52? That's been...
No, Green Lantern was the only thing that didn't get affected by New 52.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, they just kind of... They're just like, oh, they kept on going. Because I think at the time, Geoff Johns was still writing it. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, fuck you guys. I'm just going to keep going.
I'm Geoff Johns.
Right. So,
Far Sector. Okay.
It's a really cool book. The art's pretty great. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll have to take a look.
Yeah, I went and saw Jungle Cruise today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Any luck? Is it okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
I mean, it's like The Rock and Emily Blunt. They're going to run around and punch things. And
right.
There's going to be references to the ride, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Definitely.
I guess we could, obviously, you can compare it to like Pirates of the Caribbean, the first one. Like, that would be a pretty comparison.
I feel like someone came in and said, why don't we make it like Pirates of the Caribbean and have CG dudes running around with crazy with crazy faces?
Uh-huh.
So
even more of a comparison than I would have thought.
Three people on the screenplay, story by four people.
Okay.
So it's...
That...
A lot of people working really hard, and mm-hmm. the more the merrier, the more great ideas to share.
Right.
There you go. Yeah. If they're the right five people.
How many times was the word "and" in those credits? Because I always feel like that's an indicator. It's like Steve and Lynn, and also Chad and Mitch.
Because that
and because
that's like a core sample. You break it down by which teams had a whack at it when, right?
Right.
Exactly. I mean, it's not like, oh yeah, all seven of us got here together. It's like, no, we brought in the A team and that didn't work. So then we brought in the B team. That didn't work either.
We brought in some script doctors.
I wonder which team brought in the reach around joke.
There was the reach around joke in Disney's Jungle Cruise?
I'm nodding my head to you guys. Yes, there is.
Just like the ride.
Right. There was, man. I mean, they had a lot of the classic lines from the ride. But one of them...
It's the backside of a hand job.
Albert Balls. It was fun. It's fun. Yeah. I mean, like The Rock and Emily Blunt are super charming and fun.
Yeah. No complaints there. I mean, it reminds me a bit of Jumanji from the trailer.
Yeah.
Because of animals?
Because of Rock in the Jungle. Because of The Rock in the Jungle.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that there were subsequent movies after the Robin Williams one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're actually pretty... I like them a lot.
I haven't seen the second one. But I have seen The Rundown with The Rock in the Jungle.
That's The Rock in the Jungle.
It's almost like I was hoping for The Mummy. Mm-hmm. I think it's more Pirates of the Caribbean, but like the animals are like the Life Aquatic. So like every scene starts with some animal eating another animal or a bird eating a bug or it's kind of cool.
It's very establishing shot on Tatooine.
Yes. I thought a lot about George Lucas while watching this movie.
That's not always a good sign. I'm going to check it out. I gave it a week or I'm giving it a week or two because I wanted to go to the drive and I didn't want it there to be too big of a crowd.
Yeah, but I'd say see it on a big screen.
Yeah, I want to go check it out.
And then if not, just wait for it to be free on Disney Plus.
Yep, that has worked for me in the past.
But there's some good jokes. There was one joke from the ride that made me and Stevie and Sarah just laugh and laugh and not stop laughing. So that was enjoyable.
Hey, that's worth it.
Can we guess which one? Was it Jump Right Over the Boat? That's always a favorite of mine.
No, it was we're heading into Headhunter territory.
Okay.
It's not a great place to be headed.
Okay. I will look forward to its appearance.
But I mean, just the whole, like, yeah, it's fine. It's good.
Cool. But one of the blockbuster release in this strange, unprecedented times, you know, part. We're in unprecedented times two now.
Right.
The unprecedenting.
Precedent in paradise.
On the move.
So it's still nice that there's movies, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun time. It's a fun time.
Good.
Speaking of fun times.
Yeah.
You want to get into it?
I would love to.
Sweet Tooth, episode 8.
Big man.
Big man.
Big man.
Big man.
Right. Zero. I think none of our predictions happened.
One.
Oh.
I think we confirmed that one of our theories was true. That Bear's sister was a hybrid.
Yes. Oh,
right.
And that Drover. Yeah, that was a Ryan Moore family favorite. One of my rare contributions to the show.
You nailed it. But what we never got around to predicting is that her sister was actually Wendy, a.k.a. Pigtail.
Right. Right. Which was funny because when we see the flashback of Big Man's baby, the reveal, I thought we were going to see Pigtail.
That would be an interesting... That would be just as interesting as the bear plot.
Yes.
Harmony thought Big Man's baby was a panda because it's a goat with like black goat legs, but it was wearing a white diaper. So she was like, "Was that a panda?" I was like, "No, because it went."
I sent you a picture. What made me immediately think of, which is Jim Brewer from SNL playing that goat man,
goat boy or whatever. Yeah.
Is Jim Brewer the most off-putting cast member?
Oh, there's gotta be.
That's
worse.
A deep bench. That would be saying a lot.
He always seemed so on something.
But he was overall harmless.
Right.
Like it was like you knew what you were gonna get, and it was fine. Like whatever. But like, I feel like Mikey Day is far more egregious than Jim Brewer. Like, in terms of,
or Anthony Michael Hall when he was on.
I feel like there's worse.
Okay.
Like I feel like he didn't bring a lot to the table. I don't know. I kind of put him in the Victoria Jackson like realm. Like, oh, you know what you're gonna get. Like, she's gonna do something ditzy and dumb, and he's gonna act like a stoner. And
right,
I get
or
that,
Joe
yeah.
Pesci,
or a goat man. I was expecting to fully see a goat boy during the group hug at the end.
Yes. Yeah. They do leave it open that we don't know where Louisa and Big Man's son are.
Right.
And I want to say from the top that this episode was really enjoyable to me.
I really liked it.
I liked the direction a lot, like the camera direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I also just thought that they just did such an excellent job of showing the contrast between like tragedy and hope, and this is a sad moment, this is a happy moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, like I'm going to call this part the ending where they're giving the group hug.
Right.
That to me, that was like the ending of the episode, and the next bit was like a button, you know, or like a little, like a tag. And like in that moment where Gus is captured, potentially going to be tortured, all of his new friends he's meeting are going to be tortured, and he is just smiling this beatific and angelic smile. It was such a great, like I said, a great contrast, a good, I don't know, not juxtaposition, but you know what I mean. I just thought that was just really, really good TV.
Yeah. I had a couple of questions on things that I think need clarification.
Uh-huh.
So in this episode, Gus is in the cage and he's in by Dr. Singh. So finally, those two storylines have now come together.
It was exactly what we were waiting for.
And he said, Gus kept saying, okay, don't talk, because that's something that he learned from Big Man earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So he ends up talking and whatever. Okay. So did none of the other kids that got captured talk?
As far as I can tell, the only ones that seem to be able to are Wendy and Bobby. Okay. Because all the other ones seemed to hoot and holler, and
those kids were hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, it looked like the fucking cast of Zoobly Zoo in the sewer down
there. What was funny?
I also got like a like Lost Boys vibe from Hook.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
A little bangarang going on.
They cut us loose. They cut us loose. But they look like they just grabbed regular kids, because I kept an eye on all the extra kids back there because I wanted to see what they were. And a lot of them were like, their eyes were like wandering off from the scene and looking around and stuff. And it made me laugh because little kids, that's how they act.
Do that. Yeah, exactly. One of them had gigantic bear arms and claws. Did you see that guy? He had like extra arms.
I didn't
like,
see that guy.
Not additional arms, but extra length arms.
Oh, okay. Like Freddy Krueger style.
Mm-hmm.
Like long arms.
Long arms. Like Stretch Armstrong.
I know we're kind of jumping around, but now that I didn't take any notes, so I'm just thinking of stuff that happened.
Yeah.
Do you think Dr. Singh is killing the Chameleon Boy, or do you think he's able to take a piece of that boy off and it regenerates?
I think, I fear that from what we've been told, they need, I want to say, spinal column fluid and pituitary gland. Mm-hmm.
Can you get that from a tail?
You could get, well, that's a good question. I guess I presume the spinal column goes through the tail.
Yeah.
But either way, the fluid goes up and down the whole thing. So you're not just taking it out of like one spot. You're, you know,
yeah.
It's not just coming out of the bottom. But I'm not happy for Chameleon Boy's chances.
I'm not happy that they didn't put him under.
Yeah. No matter what, whether they're killing him or just taking out fluid, which is heinous. Right. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Give him a little ether? Anesthetic. Well, it just speaks to the same way they were treating the people that got the sick and their community of Rockbridge there, like,
yeah.
Oh, you've got the sick, I guess we're gonna light you on fire right now.
But I kind of feel like if you're the one performing the cert, like, even for your own well-being, if you don't do it for humanitarian reasons, it's just like, these fuckers just yell all the time.
Yeah,
knock them out before, like, even if you don't care, like, for your own well-being,
it's gonna be thrashing around
for selfish reasons. You want them to be quiet and still. And especially with Singh here, where he's now, you know, he's now fully descended into his, you know, moral depths,
right.
Where he's, you know, God, forgive me, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to. And, you know, especially for him, I think it would be like the longer he can keep doing it would be based on the less he has to hear children looking things scream at him in pain.
Right.
He actually, Singh, when Singh meets Big Man, which was, this episode was very...
it's look a at all small the coincidences. World.
Yeah, it's a small pandemic after all. Singh meets Big Man in the hospital, and the thing he said to him at the end I thought was like interesting. You'll be surprised what you're capable of when it's for someone you love,
right.
Which obviously applies to Big Man and Singh. You know,
yeah. And
like Singh's whole thing is doing it for Ronnie.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah.
How long realistically was he deciding on what button to push in the elevator?
Yeah, he was away from his kid and Louisa for, I don't know, 5 minutes max.
And did anybody else like need to use that elevator at any point?
He was just keep taking it up. Well, you know what? He's having his major freak out. In front of those military guys, and you know, if I saw a 6'6" dude like yelling and screaming and tearing his mask off, I would like take a step back. You know,
yeah.
You don't know where this is going to go.
No.
You don't know what happens next. Nanzo Anozie, who plays I don't know if I pronounced his name right because I've never heard it, but who plays Big Man? He's British.
Ah, cool.
He's a British actor, apparently. So like that never came through.
No, his American accent is pretty great.
Yeah.
They shot this in New Zealand, correct?
Oh, really? I'm free to Google it now.
Oh yeah, we can look up Big Mouth, Big Man, Sweet Tooth. But we get a New Zealand actor in the first scene.
Yes, Rhys Derby.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
I called him when he was still like.
Yeah,
he
had the mask on.
Suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can know Rhys Darby's voice.
Yes.
He's done enough voice work. but that's it. He doesn't show up again. It was just like a cameo. Just like
it reminded me of the opening of the last episode of season one of Mandalorian with the two.
I didn't see it.
You should see it.
I should, yeah, for sure.
But the opening of that,
yes.
Taika Waititi directed that episode, I believe. And it opens up on two biker scouts just shooting the shit. Like these two guys were just shooting the shit. Like, why are we watching these guys? But I think it's Jason Sudeikis and Adam Pally, who was mentioned on last week's episode, as the biker scouts. You don't see their faces.
That's great. I like both those dudes.
I say check out Mandalorian. It's like a TV show.
I probably should, for sure.
It's a TV show, but Star Wars.
I know.
And it's really good.
I know.
As somebody who had a lifetime of getting burned by Star Wars TV projects, the Ewok films, the cartoon, like,
yeah,
all those things, like, I was really skeptical. I was not expecting anything, and it was as good as anything in the Star Wars, I was going to say cinematic universe, but not to, but any of the feature films that were released,
yeah,
with the exception of that Clone Wars cartoon.
It's, yeah,
I'll have to swing back around to it.
Yeah,
because I did watch like 5 episodes.
Okay, so it wasn't completely. So it wasn't completely. You only need 3 episodes left for season 1.
Okay.
But yeah, Rice Derby.
Rice Derby, yeah. So
have you? Oh, I don't know if this has anything to do with it. It kind of, sort of, roundabout way does. Have you watched Wellington Paranormal?
No.
Watch it.
Okay.
If you like, if you like, What We Do in the Shadows, it's a spin-off series.
Oh really? Wow, I've never even heard of it.
It's on HBO Max. It is a couple of cops in Wellington who each episode come across some paranormal event, and it's hilarious.
On board. That sounds so great.
As soon as you're done with Detroiters
and Dark Crystal,
put it on your list.
It's on my list. I just added it.
This is going to be so much easier to watch than Dark Crystal, for sure.
Well, yeah, it seems like it. Yeah. Shoot, what was I going to say? Rhys Darby. Oh, well, never mind. But one thing, would they show all the stuff in the past at the beginning of the stick? The sick, excuse me.
What do they call it? The crunch time? Or
Crumble. The crumble. Which sounds delicious.
Yes. I was just going to say, that sounds like I could go for a crumble right now.
Too much of the pandemic stuff there really hits home. Like, the terrible, shoddy mask discipline.
Well, yeah, the two guys, the whole thing with the two guys
with Rhys Darby and,
yeah, I'm like, okay, this was definitely written 100% after.
Oh, for sure,
the pandemic started. Yeah.
But
it's just so woke.
But even without that, like, Big Man's walking around the hospital trying to find a place to take Louisa, and he's talking to the guards, and the guard's like, no, you can't. And then finally he convinces them, and the guard takes his mask off to talk to him. Like, okay, well, now so I can emote, I'm going to take my mask off. And that's such a part of how no one completely goes with how masks are supposed to work.
Right.
Like how you always see it on someone's chin instead of over their nose. And, like, even with Big Man and Singer in an elevator, a very enclosed space of an elevator, while the pandemic is raging around them, Big Man has no mask on. And Singh takes his mask off because he's like, oh, I need to breathe finally now that I'm in this elevator with another person.
Yeah, a stranger.
Yeah. I think the way the narrator talks, it's all very first person. I think he lived through the sick and the crumble. I think it happened to him.
Right.
So I don't think he's Gus, I guess is the point I was going to go for. It.
Right. And I'm thinking that somewhere along the way, he takes care of Gus or something.
He comes into. I think he'll come into our story at some point.
I feel like when we saw Gus in the cage, not in the cage, in the sort of stables or whatever that was, the big room. And the narrator kicked in. I thought that's when we were going to meet him. He was going to be in there.
Okay.
Maybe he's that Jimmy dude or whatever that kid's name is.
What, Johnny?
Johnny. He's the good guy. The good guy. Last guy. Last man.
Yeah, that's Johnny.
So are we giving up on the fact that it might be the guy on the billboard that we saw a few episodes ago?
I think that, in my opinion, that might be just an Easter egg, but I'm not giving up on that. Yeah, it could be him. Okay. He could be an actor.
Because if the narrator does show up,
yeah,
wouldn't it have to be portrayed by James Brolin, who we've actually already seen in the series on a billboard?
Like, yeah,
he could be
probably
dubbed. Yeah. You get someone else to dub him.
Yeah, it's true.
A hybrid.
Future Ted Mosby.
It's Jim Brewer. Hybrid goat.
Hybrid goat. Yeah, I think it still could be that guy. I mean, because that would still fit. Like, here he is. He's some model or actor. Yeah. He shot a billboard for.
I mean, it doesn't even matter what he was in a past life.
No.
Because look at Big Man. He was, you know.
He's a football player. He's not a football player now.
Doesn't matter anymore.
And then, as I was talking about the emotional impact of this episode, where Big Man and Gus are having their big discussion about, like, we're going to go and we're going to play pass the ball, and you're going to teach me how to make maple syrup, and we'll live in a whole forest of maple trees.
You knew it was coming. He's dead meat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they shot him. They shot Big Man.
Okay, so we've been saying all season that the Big Man Gus storyline has zero suspense in it. It's not, we don't think anything's going to happen to him. And as soon as Big Man got shot and we saw where, I'm like, there's no way that would have killed him.
Yes, it's so high up in the shoulder.
On the wrong shoulder. It's like not even anywhere near his heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that shot is not fatal on TV.
No.
A shot like that on TV, you could go back to work the next day.
Right.
Like, that's where Carmen?
San Diego? Well,
Carmen is the name of the character. Carmen Ibanez in Starship Troopers. Denise Richards. That's, like, where she got stabbed at the end of Starship Troopers. And then she puts her arms around the boys, like, let's go have a beer, guys. So, Gus, first of all, that plane, is that a trap?
Well, it's hard to say. Okay, so this is clearly the plane that was dropping the flyers.
Yes.
I'm assuming it's a trap?
It landed and or crashed there in the field. It's not operational. There's grass growing inside of it, so it's been there for enough time for that to occur. The radio is still functional.
Right.
So is that just suspension of disbelief, or did the last men maintain this? Oh, yeah, you think so? Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't wait for option B.
I don't know. No, I don't know how planes work.
No,
but I do know that while you're driving your car, you have a drive belt inside, and part of that acts as a generator to keep your battery powered and stuff like that. So the wind kept the
propeller
going. So I'm thinking maybe that kept the power on.
I'll be damned.
But I
maybe
look at this guy.
Yeah, look at this guy.
Because there was a lot of how do we still use flashlights? Like they have the wind up ones.
They have the wind up ones. Yeah.
So that was my line of thinking. I think it maybe crashed. Maybe it was out of fuel. But it looked like the wind was blowing the propeller, because sometimes it was going faster, sometimes it was stopped.
Right.
So it's now just essentially a windmill for the battery.
For the radio. It's a wind-operated radio.
Yeah.
Which Gus, bless his little heart, even though he just has like learned a lot of bad shit, still not cynical enough to not pick up that radio.
It was rough, man. You knew it, too.
Yeah, as soon as he was like, but they're going to come get here. Like, what do we say to our friends when they get here? Oh, no, man. Gus.
So General Abbott appears to have known about the zoo for a while now.
Yeah, yes. He says he's been watching her.
So I have a feeling he was the one sending out the flyers to let the hybrids continue to go there.
Come there?
And then once they were out, then they're like, okay, we need to go get round up all the things that we sent to the zoo.
Huh. I think maybe not. Because remember, he says that the two things they do with them are experiment, exterminate, and he's been really good at the exterminated part.
Mm-hmm.
Too good. I think he's been letting the preserve go.
Okay.
Like an extra, like a stockpile.
Right.
Like, I'll get them later. They're static. I know where they are. I can always come in and sweep in, because he's got so much confidence in his... I mean, they rolled up with, like, tanks and Humvees.
But don't you think that they would be the ones to throw the flyers out to get people to go into the stockpile? Because we mentioned it doesn't make sense if you're trying to hide a bunch of hybrids to throw out thousands of flyers.
Right.
Right. To tell people about, many people about this secret place.
Right, right. Come to our secret place.
So it could have been his plane saying, hey, go to this secret place.
So that, like, it's a way of flushing them out.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense. So the assault on the zoo, and Amy and Abbott have that excellent conversation, good guy and bad guy hashing it out, and we finally get to see Abbott talk for an extended length of time, and this guy, whoever he is, he's swinging for the fences. He's doing a real characterization on this Abbott character.
Yeah.
And then we find out what Bobby's been up to, making tunnels full of fireworks.
Yeah. You get a lot of Bobby in this episode.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And then, totally. So she's just being tough guy with him. She's like, you know, if he were there, she would have spit on him, kind of thing. That when you're captured, but you're still being tough. And she's asked him, you know, do you miss the fireworks? Who doesn't? And then she says, disfruta, cabrón, which is Spanish for enjoy, cabrón. And I thought that was nice. Like, enjoy the show, dickhead. I'm about to blow you up. Get a load of these fireworks, asshole.
Yeah, that was great. And then somewhere along the way, she got herself a Last Man outfit.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Very resourceful. Yeah.
Which I think I might have mentioned, but in a completely different context last week. I said that she was going to come to Fort Smith and dressed as a last man to save the day.
You did say that, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, this has turned out a little bit different. But don't get smart. Fort Smith. Are they now at the zoo?
Yeah. I think they figured, look, this place is already set up.
Yeah.
You know, why move when we've got all these cages and...
And I'm trying to figure out the room that the doctor's wife is in.
It seems like a place where they would put animals to watch them.
But the outside is a giant cage, and the inside is a little room. And I feel like it's flipped. I think the mirror's on the wrong side, and I think the wallpaper's on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Like, one time I ordered Red Robin. And their containers has a place for your food and a place for the side. And they put the macaroni and cheese in the little portion and the side salad in the big portion. Like, it feels like that.
It's a little flipped. Like, it shouldn't be. Because you have to think of, like, there's two reasons to look at an animal at the zoo. And that's if you work at the zoo and if you're visiting the zoo.
Yeah.
And where Sing is looking at Ronnie, it doesn't seem like there would be visitors there. Because, like you said, it's inside a cage.
Yeah,
and so if you're working at the zoo, what if you don't need a two-way mirror?
Right.
Yeah, what elephant needs to look at people, but the people inside can't see the elephant?
Right, yeah. Right. So they've got Ronnie locked up, and it's like, can you get her a magazine at least? Like, she's being tortured almost as much as the actual torture, just sitting in a room alone.
Well, she does get her hands on two Scrabble pieces.
Yeah, she wastes them right away. She can't even play Scrabble with them now. Her spelling out us. I don't know.
Is season two going to start with her putting the G in front? Is she holding onto a G?
And she mimes kicking a field goal.
I loved...
Go get Gus.
I loved that Gus would rather be polite than not speak.
Then not. That was
when he said thanks. I thought that was the best moment.
Someone did him a kindness. And you know what? Meanwhile, I was thinking about Dr. Singh. Like, he must never have seen Gremlins.
Was it after midnight?
Well, I just don't go poking a candy bar into a cage, man. I've been burned on it. Like, I'm not going to do that now.
Yeah,
you're right. Like that. Gus was instinctive. It was just the right thing to do. He said And, like, Singh was so taken aback by it that he didn't even immediately go to, can you say more words? It was
immediately like, this is someone different. Well, the fact that he does say thanks shows that this hybrid has been taught manners.
Uh-huh.
So it's more, the thanks means more than just thanks. It's like, oh, that's what parents teach kids. And this thing obviously learned something from somebody along the way.
Right.
Which goes to show you, because Penelope, what's her, Wendy.
Wendy.
Can also speak, and none of the rest can, which means that these other kids really weren't raised by adults. They were abandoned, and maybe they got all their clothes. I don't know where Bobby came from. He can kind of say a couple words, like sad.
Right, and scared.
Scared, and then, but he has like, a full on outfit, so I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah. You know what? Amy has a lot of hybrid kids, and she doesn't have any human like helpers or friends. Right. So, like, I think you're right. These kids must have been on their own. Otherwise, there would be like one or two humans that show up that are like, hey, you know, thank you for saving me and my kid. I've been trying to raise her in the wild forever.
Right. But then why would she be listening to a radio waiting for calls? Because, like, the possum kid, I think, or what they claimed to be a possum kid, or was
yeah, that one, she thought the one was a trap, yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe that's how it normally works. Is maybe everyone that has a kid now has a hybrid. And then, like, maybe what happens is people don't want to raise them, and they know that they have this option.
Right.
But even then, these kids are too old for that.
Yeah.
They would have they've been living somewhere.
Right. And they have big enough clothes.
Right.
We'll be interested to see where Wendy came from. From the crib at Bear's house, Bear, a.k.a. Becky, to the front of the zoo.
Yeah, you're right. So Bear's name is Becky, and she's talking to Birdie's friend Judy. And my mom has two sisters, and their names are Becky and Judy. So that was an interesting moment for me. It meant nothing. Just like, just went, huh.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, out of all the names in the world, two of them matched up with something.
Right.
Yeah, it's weird. Bear's backstory is interesting. We still don't know about how she grew up. Like, immediately after this thing where she's left at the house by herself to where she is now building her army. Like, there has to be something, some adult in that gap.
There has to be. She makes it sound like she was on her own, but I don't know if a six-year-old is going to make it on their own.
Right.
Right. Like, do you even know how to run the can opener yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was six when the sick came, when the crumble came. So so she's 16 now. And yeah, you're right. There had to have been some adult between her and then finally her meeting Tiger.
Right. And then another interesting thing, timelines-wise, that kind of confused me was they mentioned Gus was probably around a lot longer than when the hybrid showed up.
Yeah, he's significantly older than them. Like, we thought he was, like, the first one. He is the first one.
He doesn't seem that much older than Wendy.
Maybe he's 9 months older than the wave of hybrids.
Okay.
Maybe it took maybe the hybrids had to incubate, you know, like he did, but now naturally. This is one where Judy said that the virus is the different side of the same coin as the hybrids. Yeah.
Yeah.
She said the virus and the hybrids are two sides of the same coin. You know, I think if it's almost like if you think about COVID right now and you know how dangerous it is and how we're all sort of nervous and worried about it. And if someone said, okay, well, I have a cure, but your kid comes out with antlers, like, that's basically what we're dealing with here is like all the kids are immune, but they're not so much humans anymore.
Yeah. And it seems like the scene between Sing and Big Man kind of showed how this struggle that parents are having with this idea is so familiar now. Like, Sing is like just giving the basic questions without any sort of like comfort. He's just like, is it what kind is it? So there's definitely has a feel of people are either cool with it or not cool with it. He doesn't have time to deal with it.
It's been a thing, and you can see how it's been affecting people because the nurse, when she's talking to Big Man, like he asks her questions and she refuses to answer. She's got her script.
Yep, exactly. She does the all the walk around stuff, and we as an audience are like, well, she didn't answer that. We all know it's a hybrid based on her responses, and Big Man was shocked. He could have been in denial, but I'm like,
right. Yeah, she would have said yes. It would have been that easy.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's the protests too. There's the people in the news actively protesting the hybrids, calling them monsters or whatever things.
Right.
So from the get-go, the hybrids have been on shaky ground.
Right. Right. And there's it seemed like a lot of them didn't have an upbringing. Like, Wendy could have.
Yeah.
But got taken away too young.
Right.
So how many people are actually abandoning them, and how much are they just getting taken by Abbott?
Yeah. What would happen to the hybrids if it was not for the sick? You know, clearly some people are going to freak out and have problems. But Bear's foster parents, Wendy's parents, they were just happy. Like, hey, take a picture of the baby with Bear, little Becky Bear. We're going to take a Polaroid.
Yeah. So where did we end with Bear? She's still with Judy.
Bear is the button because she gets Birdie on the phone.
That's right.
Like the end of Lost season 2 or 3 or whatever.
Like
with the
everybody's paired up with the wrong person.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Everyone's skipping over.
So
Gus and Wendy, Amy and Big Man, and Bear and Birdie.
Right. We gotta get these guys together. It's like they're gonna come together and create some sort of beam in the sky that saves the world.
It's the plot resolution beam.
Yeah.
I'm excited for the Amy and Big Man storyline because she clearly doesn't think he's the last man. She must know.
Yeah.
She must have been seeing him and Gus from a distance or something, because she goes and picks him up.
She goes straight there.
Yeah, patches him up. So maybe she heard. Oh, she must have heard over the radio because she was listening to the radio.
Right.
Like they were just like, we left the trainer on the ground.
Yeah.
10-4. and Amy's in her office and her where she locked down in the first place.
Yeah, and
Singh, that was a cool reveal
and
too.
Singh is with what's his name again? Jimmy,
Johnny.
I get it wrong every single time. Appears to be a good dude.
He seems like he might be a good guy, but he also gives me like David Arquette from Scream vibes.
Okay,
like he's a good guy, but he's a bit of a goof.
Right. Yeah, but I think he's not down with any of Abbott's shit.
Yeah.
But he's probably safe.
Right.
Like in his company as opposed to being a traitor. So I guess it's like being close to his sort of enemy and helping and just kind of overseeing so that he can make a difference, I guess. I don't know.
You get the vibe from Johnny that he's the kind of guy that's like, yeah, he's your jailer, but he's going to like throw you an extra Pop-Tart.
Yeah. But he did get Gus out of the cage into a different cage.
Right.
But still kind of throwing Gus into the sort of group of hybrids extends his life. So that's good.
It shortens the chameleon's life.
Right.
So it's a trade-off.
Yeah.
And I think that was a theme of this episode. It was just like nothing worked out so great. But it was a excellent ending for a season and a setup for the next season.
Yes. Even if we didn't know the second season, because we knew the second season was coming before we watched this episode. I feel like even if we didn't know, we would have figured it out. It definitely feels like it. Well, there was none of those storylines where you can be like, okay, I could see all these guys living happily ever after in those separate storylines. It's like definitely, we still need to know what the purple flowers are. We still need to know like stuff about Abbott, Last Man. Like they opened up a lot of stories in this episode.
That boat, that ship, there was that picture of that ship.
Oh boy, I don't remember.
There's a picture of a sailing ship that was like, I think it was the one crashed in the ice. I think it was crashed in the ice in a picture. And I think you're meant to think that that's where they went for their expedition look for the microbes.
Okay.
At the end, they played that song about Auld Lang Syne. that song always makes me think of Auld Lang Syne, man.
Is it not? Time. I thought it was.
It tells you to, it asks you whether you should think of Auld Lang Syne, I think, is the point.
Oh.
Like, should old acquaintance be forgot? Tell me.
Tune in and find out.
It's asking you.
News at 11. excited about Birdie. The ending reminded me of what was that? The end of season 2 of Lost.
Yeah, exactly. With a Penny, guys.
The call at the outpost. It clearly Birdie did not go to look for Gus, but is looking for some sort of assuming cure for something, right. Either the sick or helping hybrids or something.
She went back to the source.
Right.
It seems like.
Right. I don't know how that storyline will play out. Is Birdie going to come back from the ice? I don't think Bear's going to go out to Alaska or wherever
no,
she is.
No, it's more like, hey, we're here at your house. Can I have some of your ginger ale?
So how, I mean, like, does Bear mention Gus right away? Does she know she's talking to Birdie?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because I think that's the purpose of the phone. Like, I think Birdie was like, here, Judy, I'm taking off. You can call me on this phone. And then now it's like, what, 10 years later, the phone doesn't work and Bear fixes it. Yeah. And so Birdie's like, I kept the phone right next to me and I could hear it ringing. Who is this?
What's your operating number? Yeah. I'm trying to think of other stuff to happen in the show, but we covered a whole lot.
I think the arc for Big Man, I think this is why this episode is called Big Man, is that we've, you know, seeing what happened with him and his hybrid kid.
Right.
And how he hesitated and ultimately made the right choice, and it didn't pay off for him, and he's now just punished for that moment of hesitation, which is so believable and human.
Do you think he became a last man because he knew they were hunting hybrids and he might be able to find his goat baby?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bing pot. I think that's
100%. Yeah. So he's not really proud of his brand on his chest.
Yeah.
But it's a necessary, what would you do for someone you love?
Yeah, exactly. It's just like Sing, but I think that it is possible that in that time he hurt a lot of hybrid kids.
Do you think Abbott knows Big Man?
No, because he was there. And he was there when they picked up Gus, wasn't he?
Oh, that's
he was,
right. Like, on the truck. Was he?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. And he just called him a traitor.
Because I remember watching throughout the episode, it's like, man, Abbott is everywhere. He is like in every storyline, and he just has to do a lot of traveling right now. He's at the zoo. He's picking up Jeopard. He was everywhere.
He was a busy man.
I was trying to figure out. So the zoo is in Essex, right?
Yes.
Because I was trying to figure things out where people were amongst these three storylines, because some of them took place in daylight and some of them did not. But there's kind of a non-linear story here.
Yes.
So I could see how I was like, okay, it's probably just they're taking place at different times. Like, even though they're all in the same place, they take place at different times of day. And then, you know, I guess that far north, you would have mostly daylight during one time of the year and mostly darkness the other time of the year. But I think that's getting into too much, like, overthinking.
Right. I think it was just, like, different times of day. Like, everything wasn't happening meanwhile. It was just, like, this is what happened to them, this is what happened to them. I just want to say one more thing I have in my notes is I looked at the hybrid kids, and it made me think of, my name is Jimmy, but my friends just call me the hideous penguin boy.
Oh, yeah.
From Tim Burton's.
Yeah, that's, like, one of my favorite stories in that. Was it The Melancholy Death of Oyster Boy and Other Stories?
That's right, yeah. The hideous penguin boy.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
And it even though there are cliffhangers, I was satisfied where everybody was.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, oh no, what's going to happen to so-and-so? Like, I know big man's okay, and he's in the care of Amy, which is a good thing.
Awesome thing.
I know that Gus isn't in the best situation, but he's there with other hybrids, which is something he kind of was hoping for.
That's what he explicitly was saying he wanted and to find. Yeah, for sure.
So there is a little bit of comfort he takes in that. You could see it on his face when they, during the group hug. And then I feel like Dr. Singh is sort of, even though he's still messing with hybrids, I think he is in a better place now, knowing about Gus and being able to talk, and maybe he has something else to focus on now. Like, he maybe he doesn't have to kill hybrids now. He knows that they're like have people. Feelings.
Yeah.
So I think like now his main focus is to just get Abbott out of the picture.
Right.
And spend more time with Gus. So I feel like all of those are satisfying to where I'm like, I can't wait to see what happens next. I want to see what happens next, but I'm not like anxious.
I'm not unfulfilled. I'm not anxious. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does. It left me wanting more, but it didn't leave me hanging. If that makes any
sense. Yeah. It wasn't like the ending of season one of Lost where we've been waiting to see what's inside the hatch door, the hatch.
You can say inside the hatch.
Yes. And we just didn't get to see it because they took too long to have that shot go down. It's like, guys, we're running out of time.
That's how you think it happened.
Yeah. You know, if they just cut away real quick to show us.
They could have showed us everything.
Yeah. So it's one of those, I felt like I'm not like, oh, gosh, now we're going to have to wait another year to, like, debate what happened, what's going to happen next. But I feel like everybody is good where they are.
Yeah.
I feel like the fact that Bear found Birdie is, she was the most cynical, or her and Big Man were really cynical about being able to find Birdie. And so that's going to change her sort of point of view now that she's talking to Birdie. So, totally satisfying, really well done. Emotional moments.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's funny because, like, even though Gus is still in a cage and a bunch of hybrids are still in a cage,
and,
you know that he's happy.
Right.
And it's hopeful, and it's, like, really weird because he's still in a fucked up situation. But as long as he's happy, I'm happy. So we're good.
Yeah. It's happy for now.
Right.
And I think what you said was really good. That makes a lot of sense and well said. But for Dr. Singh, we haven't seen what he did to the chameleon boy. So he's actually, at this point, still redeemable.
Right.
And we don't know how far that arc's going to go. And that'll be something that they can explore in the next season, too.
First scene, episode or season two, Singh throws that spinning blade into Abbott's beard.
And it
chews up his face, and everybody gets set free.
The end.
Season two is one episode.
Like 20 minutes, 25 minutes of credits.
That's all, folks. It's Penelope. I can't not call her Penelope.
It's cool. Yeah. What's funny about that is you're mixing two references.
Right.
So that, I like that. I think I want to see what they do with Singh. I want to see if he descends and just becomes a monster. Or if he has a chance to get out of that.
Did you say in the book that he was a bad guy?
Yeah. Yeah. In the book, he's like...
I hate to see it.
In the book, he's like a horrible... He's like Josef Mengele, sort of, you know?
Yeah.
Like the Nazi scientist, you know, just doing terrible, inhumane experiments. He's just... from the get-go, he's like, I'm going to save humanity. Who cares about these little monsters?
Yeah. I'd hate to see it.
Yeah. But that would be interesting. That would be...
But I like him.
But I don't know if it matches the tone of the show.
Right. Right.
So.
But I don't know, like... I feel like... The show feels so... When the show feels safe, it's not as compelling. Like, when you know Gus isn't going to get hurt, and and Big Man's not going to get hurt, it's not as compelling. So I could see them doing it. It'd make it interesting for sure.
They have a chance.
Yeah. We'll see. Season two.
That's season two of Sweet Tooth coming to Netflix.
Sometime.
They've already got it like where you go and watch it and, you know, right under beneath the thumbnail for the show or above the episodes that says season two coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's already on the screen there.
That's good to know.
Well, that's... I think that covers it. I think we said what we needed to say.
Right. Ryan, thoughts? Did you watch it?
Yes. It was great, and I agree with everything you guys said, and I have nothing left to contribute.
Cool. Well, stick around.
I said everything that I said when it came up, but I have nothing else to add. It was an enjoyable episode. I like where we're left off, and I'm excited for season two.
Cool.
All right.
We're excited for season two. Stay subscribed. We'll definitely be around for season two. If we do something in the meantime,
yeah,
we may do that.
We'll pop up.
But, keep an eye on twitter.com/Darmalars. I think that's the best way to get updates. And, we'll be around. Good. Like this season's been great. I was a little hesitant when you brought it up because I knew of the comic book, and the comic book really wasn't something that interested me, but the show looked good enough. And I'm like, oh, it's only, you know, 8 episodes. I could do that. And I'm super glad. We watched the show because it's been a blast to talk about. And it's weird being able to theorize again.
Right.
Even though it's not on the level of Lost.
Sure.
Like, it's not as dense. But it's still fun to watch a show, you know, week by week.
Yeah, periodically. Yeah. It's been, the show's just so tonally different from the comic that I think your concerns about, if the show had matched the comic, I could see that concern because it would be, it's sort of like harsh and gritty and choppy almost. Like, where this, the way that we laid out the story, it was just an excellent job of taking their time and building the arc and here's the past, here's the present, here's the future. So I think when we'll take our discussion off air and on the group chat, we'll talk about like finding another thing to talk about maybe.
Yeah. But I like that because we had mentioned Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Well, that's right.
It's like 6 episodes, but we've both seen it.
Right.
So there's nothing really to theorize about.
True.
So I'm kind of hoping something comes along in the next couple months. I'm sure we'll keep an eye out and we can cover that.
It's got to be better if it's new for at least one of us. Yeah.
Right. Something along the lines of Umbrella Academy, but
right.
Yeah.
Something that's new to everybody so that we can all sort of start watching at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I feel like what services like Disney Plus does weekly releases. They don't do...
Turner and Hooch.
Yeah, Turner and Hooch. We can do a Turner and Hooch podcast. Why not?
F-Boy Island just started on HBO Max.
Oh, boy.
Is that like MILF Island?
It is.
It really is. Weird. I keep seeing it everywhere, like on YouTube and sponsored ads. I don't know. Stay tuned. We'll be around. Follow us. twitter.com/Darmalars and we'll let you know what's coming down the pipeline and you can watch along with us and until next time, that's it.
Thank you guys.
It's hard to peter out when we don't have the robot lady. Maybe if there was someone around who could pretend to be the robot lady.
Recording stopped.
Missile.
All right. Missile. Rockets.
Speak for yourself, moron.
There we go.
All right.
Had to have it somewhere.